I sing. A prayer to the God. Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
It's amazing to me.
And you guys are too busy being doctors and surgeons.
No, we've tried. We've tried multiple times. We can't even get a call back from them. There are so many things we could do in the school district to stop these kids from having vision loss at a young age, amblyopic, where if you pick it up early, you can fix their vision. If you miss it past a certain age, they don't have vision in an eye, and they don't even know it. So there's a lot of things we could do for the health of, you know, and impressing on kids at an early age the importance of eye care. And some of these things that we're trying to do. And we're going to be persistent. We're going to continue to do it. I find it really interesting, the politics behind the things that we do. You think it'd be a no-brainer. We're offering a service to people for free. And all we need you to do is call us back. And yet, it doesn't happen. I will leave it for another day on some of the people behind the scenes that have been blocking what we've tried to do with GlobeCheck. It would really shock you. It's disappointing. When you're trying to do something for the good of people and you find people that have their own self-interest that don't align with that, and they will do what they can to stop you. But we're persistent, as we have been for 9 years, and we will continue to be. And my dream is that, you know, eye care becomes something that everybody has access to, whether you can afford it or not, and that we're able to do the things that we've wanted to set out to do, which is stop this blindness that could be prevented.
And and maybe get into third world nations too, where there's, you know, some grandma right now walking around, she's totally blind from a cataract, mm-hmm. or a little surgery. I remember when I was a missionary down in Haiti, and this lady invited me, a Vinny, which means come, and they had five little grass shacks, and thatch, and then on the floor they only had sugar cane was laid down for a bed, no possessions.
Yeah.
A man there had a little wound on the side of his leg. And some lady who was there, was an authority, said, well, if he was in America, he would go to a local clinic and he'd be okay. Most likely he will die within 6 months from this because we don't have any medicine to give him.
Yeah. That's all over the world. That's all over the world that way. I mean, we have
an obligation for our fellow man.
There's a lot of people that do it. I was, when I was a resident, I had the benefit of going to Ometepec, Mexico on a medical mission. Second year residents were able to do this. It was put on by a guy named Jerry Freeman in Memphis, really kind of a very forward-thinking guy, but he had this World Cataract Foundation. And that's where I met my fellowship director, Dr. Beal, on that trip. And we were able to go to Ometepec, Mexico during our second year, and we were able to take care of people, do surgeries on people, and they would walk for days, literally, to get to us. And, you know, picking the cataracts was easy. We started out, we're looking at them at a slit lamp. Oh, maybe you need surgery. No. All we had to do was look at them in a line. Your cataract is white. You are literally blind. You're going to have surgery. You're going to have surgery. We didn't even have to look at them under a microscope. Just, yep, you. No, you can wait a year. You could still see something. I mean, they were blind, truly blind. It was miraculous. We did their cataract surgery, and we did an older technique then, and we were in a remote area. So I remember we were operating, and there was damage from an earthquake. So the operating rooms had cracked open ceilings, and I mean, it was primitive. But we had two microscopes in there, and we were able to do surgery on these people that were completely blind. And the next day, that was back then, we patched them. We took the patch off, and they would literally cry.
Oh,
it was miraculous. We had one guy, I remember, was terrible. He had been poked in the eye with some kind of some kind of barb or something. Mm. And he'd walked days. He had an infected eye. His eye was all pus. We had to remove his eye. And boy, just awful. But I worked with Dr. Beal there at pterygiums, which are, you know, when you're closer to the equator, the sun causes these growths on the eye, and they grow right over the cornea. We were just cutting these off like all day, every day. It was just incredibly primitive circumstances that the vast majority of the world lives under. I mean, we're so spoiled in this country and fortunate in this country. So giving back is a big part of what we want to do with our, you know, our company will, once it, you know, my hope is it really takes off. And we have the GlobeCheck Foundation, which again was started to give free eye care to anybody who can't afford it. I'd love for that to be fully funded. But even as part of our original intention with the company was that we would never deny anybody any eye care, even with it, you know, with the commercial part of the company.
Hey, Noah, can you give me some time? Let me know what time, how much time we have left. I want to keep the time here. We're supposed to. So do you have to go to school, or do you go to school online to keep up with innovative stuff that's going on?
Well, I mean, you have several different ways to keep current. One is journals. One is, you know, reps coming into your office that rep certain equipment and certain new technology. Certain new lenses come out. You're constantly talking about, oh, they have an article about this lens or that lens, and they'll have what they call KOLs, key opinion leaders. Some of them you have to take with a grain of salt because they should be like NASCAR and have patches all over who's paying them to say what they say. So I'm always a little skeptical when I hear that stuff. But, you know, and then there's the National Academy meetings. There's society. There's big meetings that occur in ophthalmology as well where people come and talk about new technology and new things. And
who's funding that, though? Because
industry.
Are the pharmaceuticals?
Well, pharmaceuticals is part of it. But most of it is, you know, big industry like Alcon. They make, you know, machines for cataract surgery, and they
so
make microscopes.
So they're going to pay the scientists to create this stuff.
A lot of it. Some of the research, a lot of the research is being done
it's
in
universities. It's all profit.
Well,
it has to be, right?
Some, but there's a lot of studies that go on in university settings where they're looking at different techniques and different
things. And they get grants
things.
For those?
They get grants and, you know, universities where
so
they
there
do.
There are a lot of good people who have made a lot of dough who will set up stuff like that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of corruption in it, too. Like I said, you have to take it with a grain of salt. I mean, there's certain speakers that were just shills for companies. And they're getting a lot of money from those companies to be up on the podium and speak. You know, you're supposed to, you know, ethically, you have to say who you're getting money from. If you get funded by Alcon or by this pharmaceutical company, you have to announce that at the beginning of your lecture. By the way, I'm a paid consultant for X, Y, and Z. So, you know, you lose a little bit of credibility when you're getting paid by a company to talk about it. But I've never been someone, I've done a couple lectures in the past, and they've asked me to talk about light adjustable lenses this year at our state meeting, which I'm happy to do because I love the technology and I'm happy to share my experience with it because I've been very busy with it over the last couple of years. And so, I thought I'm not a jump in the water with the first technology when it comes out. I usually what they promise and what is delivered is very, very different. So I usually want to wait until I see what their true results are. Light adjustables have been around for a while, but this is just that technology. I mean, I knew, and it's exceeded my expectations, which is very rare.
Amazing. By the way, we're talking with Dr. Mallon from Center for Advanced Eye Care, and you have a location in Vero Beach, Florida, and you have a new one in Fort Pierce.
Yeah, year old, so, just passed our year anniversary down there.
And I went down and interviewed the doctor down there. Nice young fella.
Dr. Logan Vanderwood, he's well-trained. He does glaucoma surgery as well as cornea. He's trained in cornea and glaucoma.
How do you vet these people out? Because you seem to have a tough filter. You do get the creme de la creme most of the time. I mean, there have been some people who have come and gone, but basically I've known you now 23 years, and you get some really, like, you know, I know the guy there that works on children.
Yeah.
And he's just got a great reputation. Your wife is also a doctor.
Pediatrician.
Yeah.
So. Well, you know, to me, I never thought I would have a big group because I just never saw a big group that wasn't dysfunctional, that had a lot of infighting and didn't get along. But the reality is if you have the same ethics, your medical ethics, to me, that's the one thing you can't compromise. Well, you don't.
Because I could just be putting it on for you and then not really.
Well, I mean, if someone doesn't do something on the up and up, they're not going to be practicing in our office. So you may not know till you see them in practice, and some of that is learning. But, you know, again, you know, having good judgment, being nice to people. I mean, there's very basic things that are probably the tenets of how I hire anybody. And I used to, when I started, I was hiring by, but my staff's been with me my whole career.
Well, you've been very loyal to them.
They've been very loyal to me.
Yeah.
And my staff, I have two technicians. I have one who's coming up on 25 years. January will be my 25th anniversary.
She's been with me
the day I started in Vero Beach.
Wow.
I've got two of them that this year will be 25 years with me. Another one's going to be 24 years. I have another one who is two more who are in their 21st year. I had one that retired who was with me her whole basically for 20-some years. My least experienced main technician has been with me, I think this will be her 13th year. So my crew has been with me from the get-go, and that's something I'm very thankful for and grateful for. I love my crew. They're like my family. And so, you know, finding the right people.
Yeah, they're very happy. I talk to them when you're not in the room getting my examination. I know they.
Well, because you know what?
You take good care of them. They love you.
But they see how I treat people.
Yeah.
They see how I take care of people. You know, I am. I watched my dad, who was an oral surgeon, who never turned anybody away his whole career. And he did. He gave back to the community. And he had a staff that stayed with him his whole career.
Wow.
And I always wanted that for myself. That was really my most, probably the most meaningful thing for me was, can I do that? I wish my dad was still around here to see all that, because that to me is most important, having people that care about what they're doing. If you come into my office and it's just a job for you, you're not going to survive. But my culture is not like that. We care about our patients. We care about what we do. We don't always do everything perfect. We try. Nobody does everything perfect, but we always try our best to do the right thing
for
people.
Well, obviously, your daughters are impressed. You have two daughters, and both of them are pre-med, right?
Well, my oldest is a medical student, and my youngest is graduating high school this year, and she wants to be a doctor as well. So,
because her mom and dad are both doctors.
You know, and it's interesting. I never pushed my kids into medicine. I never discouraged them, which a lot of people discourage. A lot of doctors in today's world discourage their children from going to medicine. It's a tougher world out there. It's definitely not. There's a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of things we deal with that make medicine hard to practice. But at the end of the day,
look up in Canada.
Canada's awful.
I had a place in Canada for a while, and we were all talking, and the kids are there, and they're talking about vacations in the summer. And she said, "Oh well, we can't go on vacation. My dad's just a doctor." Because up there, take 80% of the income.
It's just Canada's a disaster.
So
their health system.
I know somebody who was going to be a doctor. And his friend convinced him, don't become a doctor, become a dentist. And he became a dentist because of that.
Yeah.
So we lost a good potential doctor.
I mean, look, you have to go with what you want. I mean, I remember the doom and gloom when I was a junior in undergrad. I was playing golf with a guy who was an internal medicine doctor. And he said, "Bill, don't go into medicine, man. It's dead. Medicine is dead." He said, "You've got these things called HMOs that are coming and managed care and this and that." And he said, "The golden age of physicians is over." And I just looked at him and I said, "Look, it's what I want to do with my life. I'll make the best of it. I want to be a doctor. That is what I can't just change that. It's what I want to do." And you know what? I've had a more successful career than I ever could have imagined. You know, if you're going into medicine to make money, you've got the wrong makeup for that. Now,
it's kind of like with ministry. Tell people, don't go into ministry for money. The money will follow true ministry. If you serve others, even in business. I tell people going to advertise with me now, I say, "Look, it's my job to be a partner with you. If I help you succeed, I've created my own customer. Mm-hmm. And then I'm here to make sure you prosper. If you prosper, then I'm inadvertently going to prosper." This thing where win-lose, or it's both win-win. If it's not a win-win, and if you don't have a passion for it, you don't want to wake up. I remember the man, Paul J. Mayer, he was the president of Success Motivational Institute when I was in my early 20s. And he said, "Be careful what you choose to do with your life, because it's going to determine your whole life." Mm-hmm. When you're young, you think you have forever. Now you look back now and go,
"It happens in a flash. It's over in a flash."
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Thank you. grace. I cannot see through my disgrace. There must be hope I can embrace. Lord, take me from this place. Rescue me.
The most Little girl, she gives gives me hugs of love, and a smile brightens my world. I got two growing boys, and oh, how they bring me joy. But it makes me sad inside whenever I say goodbye. I've had my share of life's ups and downs,
trying to do the best that I can.
I ain't always
made decisions, some right and some wrong. Lord, you gave me the strength to carry on. Oh yes, you did.
May get a little rough sometimes, but that's alright. You told me, Lord, to keep holding on, and I won't give up without a fight. I believe it's alright for men to cry sometimes. See, we don't always know what's going on, or what we feel deep inside. I had my share of life's ups and downs, but times made me stronger. It all works out just fine. I'm taught, I'm learning the lesson well. I got a song to sing, story to tell.
It's praying, man. Simply trying to do the best that I can.
I ain't always been right.
Decisions, some right, some wrong.
Not all going well. It's time to excel. Hey, yeah. Yeah.
I'm just a praying man.
Yeah.
Praise is warfare when the enemy is coming against you. Praise is how you fight. God inhabits your praise. Just like God comes in. When praises go up, blessings come down.
Join Pastor Trevor Banks at 7:45 a.m. and p.m. Monday through Friday, right here on WCNO.
Each November, millions of Christians throughout the world pray for the persecuted church. Hi, Kevin McCullough, and I want to ask you to pray. Would you join me and millions of believers around the world for praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters? Christians enslaved in Sudan, Armenian Christians facing extinction in Turkey, and Nigerian Christians being brutally slaughtered. Most of us are unaware of these situations. But on behalf of our brothers and sisters, focus and pray with me this month. For more information, visit my friends at Christian Solidarity at csi-usa.org. Thank you, and God bless.
Promises that burn within my heart have now grown dim. With a doubting heart I'll follow the paths of earthly wisdom. Forgive me for my unbelief, renew the fire again. Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord. If I rise, let me rise on you. Not on all of my successes, my esteem or my pursuits. If I lose, let me lose my life. 'Cause if I belong to Jesus, the flesh is crucified. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. If I grow, let me grow in you. Wilt the seeds of wants and more, ripping pride out by the roots. And if I'm still, let me hear you speak. Not the tone of my transgressions, but the song of the redeemed. For me,
not the fountain from the well that won't run dry. Oh, I'm spilling, spilling. This overflow is heavenly. Now I'm living in this freedom. My chains and shackles broke tonight. All I have to do, I'm coming. I fall on my knees, nowhere to go. Keep faith to believe you'd welcome me up. I'm running after you. Lost, now I'm found. Ain't no fear on me now. I was blind, now I see all those lies I believe. I was weak, now I'm strong. All oppression is gone. I'm running after you. If it's all I have to do, I'm running after you.
Peace, and we wonder why. It's time they know the answer. What are the key elements to being a Christian?
Well, you may not be dead physically, but according to the Word of God, until Jesus Christ comes into your life, you are dead spiritually.
Dr. David Jeremiah gives us insight into basics of the Christian faith. Next time on Turning Point.
Listen to Turning Point at 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Good News Station WCNO.
When I'm at my end, you're just getting started. When I hit a wall, you just walk through. When I face a mountain, you are the maker. So it's gotta move. When I'm out of faith, and you are still faithful. When I'm at my worst, and you are still good. In all of my questions, you are the answer. It all points to you. 'Cause you're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, that you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I still got a reason to praise.
Help me say,
this one thing I know, that you're still on your throne.
So whatever I'm feeling, I still got a reason.
As we worship you.